welcome to the Mindful Surfer podcast with myself, Will Foster, and my co-host, Liam Morgan. Liam, how are you?
I'm all right. Not too bad. But this is the C word episode, isn't it, Will?
The C word.
The elephant in the room.
Not the See You Next Tuesday one.
No. And Corona, CV, COVID-19 is ripping through, on a serious note, the world, particularly Europe and the US at the moment. We're therefore talking about everything, I guess, in some ways that kind of links into that today. Otherwise, we'd be just sort of flippantly rolling on. But there's some fascinating things that will come out of it around mindset, fear, the impact on surfing, because surfers are not surfing in a lot of places. We're still fortunate that we're not locked down yet. And where there's a quiet break, we're grabbing a chance to get in and surf. But it's possibly coming. But as we speak, we're still free to do that. But I know the beaches around, you know, Spain, Portugal, France, the US now as well, locking down. So that's my news at the moment, is that we're just getting through this. We're all spending more time at home with family, which is a real upside of it in a way, albeit living against this sort of constant, you know, the world we live in now. We had marketed joy, didn't we? And we talk about that marketed joy and Instagram and all of the, hey, look how good my life is over here. Now we've got almost sort of marketed fear, you know, what's happening,
totally.
What's coming, you're next, that sort of vibe. The sort of backdrop, really, to this whole sort of new world we're living in, and we're all getting used to it, is this big C word.
It's weird. As surfers, we're naturally very liberated souls, carving out our own unique lifestyle that enables us to put surfing at the very, very top of our priority list.
With ultimate freedom as well.
With every decision that we make. Yeah. I remember hearing a quote from, I think it was just an average surfer from somewhere in California in Surfer Magazine, saying every single decision he's ever made in his life, job, relationship, finance, you name it, has come back to, how's this going to affect my surfing?
Yeah.
So the coronavirus in relation to surfers, the way that we are, and I think that any sports people could hold their hand up and say the same for themselves on this one, is that that freedom to enjoy that activity is slowly being taken away. And that's a tough pill to swallow.
Yes.
We're pretty fortunate at the moment. We have a very quiet surf beach anyway.
Yes, typically.
Typically and traditionally where we live, because it's out of the way for a lot of people. It's not that amazing either. The surf forecasting for our area doesn't really get done correctly or very well for Magic Seaweed anyway. And I think most surfers would look at what we ride and go, oh, okay, I think I'll carry on driving down to Cornwall anyway, which is great for us.
Yeah, good.
we're loving it because we're down in the valley and we get waves. So, you know, there was a few in, wasn't there?
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Was it yesterday?
Well,
it's like 5 or 6 in the water.
Yeah.
We were all a good distance from each other, weren't we?
2 meters apart, easily. But it's an interesting, that angle in itself is interesting because, as you will have all seen, there's loads in the news around, you know, a kind of hyper-localism in a way necessary to protect, not the waves we're talking about, we're talking about infrastructure, the really important stuff in the world, you know, hospitals, food supplies, all of that stuff. And where you get an influx of people coming, it's not just for surf actually, is it? But it's more for tourists, you know, this feeling that, you know, if you're escaping the cities, and we're very fortunate to live where we live because it's, you know, for all the crazy that's going on in the world, we see big blue skies and the birds are tweeting. And were it not for the news on a constant stream, you probably wouldn't know that this stuff was happening. You know, but this kind of idea that people are shipping in their hordes to, you know, places in Cornwall, particularly, I think, quite hard hit, you know, areas of Devon where we live, is a big deal right now because it's not about an unwelcoming, we've talked about this before, haven't we, kind of welcoming breaks. It's more about this idea that everybody stays where they are at the moment and we get over this as quickly as possible so that we can get back out and start enjoying all the things that we enjoy.
Very much so. I think that if you're from the city,
you're
about 50 times more likely to have it, whether it's dormant or active, than you are if you're from rural areas. So that I can see why surfers in certain places are being a bit like that. It's possibly a bit unconscious as well. Because let's be honest, people are people. They're going to want to move around if they can and legally can. You know, it's one of these really, really fascinating scenarios at the moment because when something's simply a moral implication, 99% of people are still going to live their life. That's the reality of human beings. Would we want people to be more responsible? Yes, we would.
Yes.
Do they have the level of awareness to notice that the habits that they have in their life are far more powerful than their consciousness at that time. Well, only that person can know for themselves, because their habit of going down to the coast when it's sunny is a far more powerful moving force than the government guideline, quote unquote, to say not go. Yeah. If there was someone standing out there with a gun, yeah, well, of course.
Yeah.
But until then, or until it becomes maybe more severe, or yes, the guidelines become more severe, I don't know. I just think people are just going to keep doing what they do, especially the way British people are. British people are very, well, I'm just going to keep doing what, you know, whereas I think other nations take governmental advice a bit more seriously. That's the vibe I've seen from the press.
Well, we've also yet to time of recording. I think there's another announcement this evening, but to get a real lockdown on. So, which other countries have got a quite heavily enforced now curfew, quarantine, whatever you want to call it. So it's going to be interesting to sort of see how all that unfolds when and if that gets enforced. But the weekend was, not the sea necessarily, because for a number of reasons, but it's fairly busy in and around the sort of beaches and the town, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I saw loads of unfamiliar faces, so people who were travelling down from various parts of England to the beach.
And camper vans and all this sort of stuff, people sort of escaping. But it is an interesting dynamic, isn't it? Because it comes back to that, there's a lot of incredibly benevolent, generous stuff happening at the moment, and a kind of really appreciation for the people that put themselves first. But then there's also the flip side, that you're trying to lock down and stop people traveling to remote areas in order to save themselves in a way. So it's got sort of almost corona migrants drifting around, trying to find somewhere that they feel, might not necessarily be a fact, but they feel is a little bit safer than where they currently reside in the city.
Yeah, completely. And it's been really interesting, because I think that obviously if you're listening to this, there's no doubt, I'm sure, that you've had thoughts and feelings as well, perhaps, about the future.
Yeah.
Of how uncertain it is for almost every single job going, apart from some sort of governmental type service jobs, teachers, etc., doctors. For most employment worldwide, there's uncertainty, and that is an interesting dynamic, because I feel as if it's had a calming effect. Now listen, you might be listening to this saying, "How could you be saying that when everything's going on?" This is just my experience, and everybody in this world, everybody has a different experience of day-to-day life.
Yeah.
So my experience of day-to-day life with people I know who are being affected by this is, because we're all in the same boat, it has a binding effect.
Yeah.
You don't feel alone when you lose a few clients. Like when I, as a personal trainer, lose a few clients in one day, which can happen, and suddenly I'm wondering how I'm going to be paying the bills and figuring everything out and, just all that stuff. It's just life. Everyone deals with ups and downs in the finances and business and these kinds of things. Let's say someone loses a job. Yes. I mean, you name it, life happens. There's a sense of and feeling of isolation.
Yeah.
And you wonder who you can turn to, and you turn to good friends and obviously loved ones, and you talk if you feel like you need to talk. But mostly you really, truthfully, have to grow internally by dealing with it yourself and coming back from your losses, your harder times with resilience, this thing we call resilience. This is how we build resilience. It's not by backing down from life, but by getting back up.
Yeah.
We're all on that boat together. But of course, we experience the thoughts and feelings of resilience in that isolated bracket, very, very alone.
Mm.
This is such a shared consciousness of isolation that it could not be further from isolation. This is my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think it's very valid. Yeah.
That I feel as if it could be paradoxically, because, of course, a paradox is everywhere in the universe, that because paradoxically 7 billion people or so, depending on what populations you look at, but really let's call it the workforce of 3 billion people, let's say, who might be and are affected by this. Because we are all isolated in that bracket of uncertainty, there's a coming together. And maybe there's so many maybes. Maybe it's what humanity needed. Maybe it's what the planet needed. Maybe it's what this, what that. Ultimately, the universe, whatever happens in the world, was meant to be what happened. And you don't need to answer why, because there's no way of finding out why, but more just, it is. So this is what's happening. So very virtue of it happening, it is what has meant to happen, because it's what's happening.
Yes.
So
yes.
The isness, shall we say, the this is what it is-ness is unfolding. And so for whatever reason, the universe wanted this to happen, it happened. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the podcast. If you want to follow us on social media, you'll find us on Facebook or Instagram at The Mindful Surfer Podcast, where we'll share updates on how to keep your mind calm, your body energized, so you can get the most stoke from your wave riding experience. Now, back to the podcast.
You know, for me, it's done two things to two kinds of people, although there's gray area within all, yes. in all this, but just hear me out. One kind of person who was digesting huge amounts of news every
yes.
day,
yes.
almost as a hobby.
Yeah.
You know, really getting involved in the news, which some people love. Mm. Newspaper, television, news, yeah. news at 6, news at 10,
yeah.
taking on the news and almost as an addiction to what's wrong with the world.
Mm. Mm.
Generally the kind of people that complain.
Yeah.
Generally the kind of people that have a lot of woe me.
Yes.
Generally the kind of people that worry
yeah.
tremendously
yeah.
about how are they going to cope and how am I going to yes. cope. And to these kinds of people, it's made things
yeah.
like way stronger.
Yeah.
There's just an absolute relentless digestion of media because every single article, I mean, literally every single article being read is being related back to it.
Yeah. It's as if there's nothing else happening in the world
nothing
anymore.
Nothing else happening. So I feel as if it's made those people even more, given them even more, here's the big one.
Yeah.
Given them even more reason.
Hmm.
That's the big, big word here. Reason as a justification and means in which to feel negative.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy.
Yeah. Well, there's that,
it's so easy to slip into that. But my final point is there's another person out there who is the likes of you and I who was yeah. already living a mindful life, who understood yeah. that what really matters in life yeah. is those grounded activities. It's time with family, health, hobbies, peace, mm. inner peace, letting things be, .. And I think like it's this kind of this person that has actually had even more liberation from this whole experience yeah. because of how uncertain things are. It's
yeah.
a paradox.
Yeah.
So much uncertainty. Yeah. Suddenly you're like, oh God,
yeah.
there's a freedom in letting go of that.
Yes, because you're shining a light on the fear. And, you know, I'm somebody who watches too much news and, you know, running businesses, as I have before. You're beholden to some of the ups and downs, and the responsibility you feel for other people, not just yourself, can be stifling as well sometimes, you know, because you're not just kind of in charge of your own destiny. You're looking at other people's. But the point about the news is a fascinating one because, you know, as a consumer of it and not being aware of the flaws of being an over-consumer of it, you've almost, you know, that song that's Reasons to be Cheerful is one side.
Mm.
The news is bad news, isn't it? Always. It's called the news, but actually it's like a sort of broadcast of reasons to be fearful. That's probably what they should call it often. It's the 10 o'clock reasons to be fearful chat program or the 6 o'clock reasons to be fearful. And
because, I really like the way you term that.
Because
it's really good.
Because they don't put good news on there very rarely.
No.
I mean, you get a little bit of those kind of good news stories from local news if you watch it, because that's almost as if they go, well, here's the fear, scary stuff in the world. Oh, by the way, this is happening as well. So you might have a little, but there is a balance because if you overconsume that, you can't control it. There's nothing you can do about it beyond the sort of basics. You're constantly fearful of things that are way beyond your control, way outside of your sphere of influence. So it's a wasted energy often. I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody else.
Totally.
But if you switch it off, you switch on the mindfulness stuff that we're talking about often, you can clear all of that. And then you've got reasons to be cheerful. You can start to see the good in some of these situations
totally
and what
agree.
Might come out of it. And of course, it's a moving thing. So there's going to be some horrific things happening as part of this. And I already have. It's not a light-hearted subject necessarily. But from these things, sometimes great light comes. And as you can see from history, things pass, don't they? And if they don't pass, they don't pass. And then we just have to deal with it. So it's been,
It's really, really interesting.
It's heavy. But it's liberating as well. Like you say, that kind of, when you're frightened of things around the structure of the world, I'm talking commercially, because this has become an income crisis for everybody, which is why the government have done what they've done. We're going to have a little bit off surfing here, but it comes swinging back to it eventually. You build these structures and you think that if they fall down, everything will end.
Mm.
And actually, sometimes, a bit like The Wizard of Oz, you kind of look at some of them and think, oh, actually, there's nothing that serious about that bit there. Or if that changes, good. Maybe this enforced change. Whether it's kind of people getting to spend more time working at home or working in different ways or spending more time with families or giving the world a bit of a breather. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got to try and look at where the good will come.
I completely agree, Liam. And I think if in times of great challenge, you either get more immersed in the challenge itself or you go deeper within.
Mm.
For me, this is completely personal. This will be humanity's chance to go within and discover what really matters more. We know already, everyone knows already, but the ego is very addictive.
Mm.
It loves to get drawn into how special am I and how much money am I making and what do I have and what do people think of me and all the nonsense and the stuff that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
When that's taken away from underneath you, because you can't post
that photo of yourself getting a 10-second barrel, or you can't post a photo of yourself or image of yourself or post of yourself from some great success you've just achieved, and you can't post. If social media is just benign pictures of people in their home with their family doing benign things, if that is what is happening, the ego will have to go through a coming of age and an awareness of itself. If it doesn't, it gets more entrenched in the challenge and even more frustrated and even more, whoa, 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 how are we going to how are we going to face the future? But if you are awakening to who you really are, this will take you so deep, and it'll be a wonderful, wonderful thing. And like you said, this is a, you know, let's just think about just how appreciative surfers around the world are going to be. Now, I know we're in a slightly different bracket right now because we're very fortunate we're getting to still go. But how unbelievably appreciative are some of the surfers around this world going to be when they get back in the ocean?
Completely.
It is going to be like a godly session. They'll go in even if it's half an inch. But this is my point.
Yeah.
If something great always comes out of something bad.
Yes.
Not even like the, I'm labeling this as bad. And that's, by the way, not me then burying my head in the sand because I think that I want people to die of coronavirus. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Yeah. It goes without saying that I would not want this.
No. We don't want to lose anybody.
Want this kind of to happen.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want someone to die of a heart attack or a car crash. Yeah. I mean, death. Let's just leave that to one side because we know that, you know.
Yeah.
However, once things are unfolding, some unbelievably wonderful things will come from this. And a restructuring of lifestyles and of mindsets and meaning in life, health, just a million and one great things will come from this. And, you know, it makes me think of, there's a board game called Bananagram. Have you ever played it?
Yeah.
Bananagram, there comes a point in everyone's display, their little Scrabble display. Now, if anyone doesn't know how to play Bananagram, you basically create your own little Scrabble.
Yes.
It's like a sort of very freestyle version of Scrabble, much quicker.
Yeah.
You create your own bits, you take another piece, take your own bits, and you make, everyone makes their own Scrabble.
Yeah.
Now, you make your formations, you get your setups, you get horizontal lines, vertical lines, horizontal lines, vertical lines, and you keep making, building structures, building structures.
Yeah.
And then the structure stops working. Everyone gets this in Bananagram. You suddenly end up with more and more excess pieces, pieces. You don't know what to do with them. And what you have to do is you get to a point in Bananagram where you're at a juncture. You either have to break the structure and rebuild.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage because you're looking at it going, I've got all this structure in place and it's really safe. I've come this far. Look at what I've built. And then to that person who really wants to win Bananagram, because I've seen this and I've played with a lot of people who play Bananagram.
Yeah.
The people who win Bananagram are the people who are willing to go, right, scrap, go next. And they scrap it and they rebuild it. And this is what will happen from coronavirus, is that people's lives and lifestyles and jobs and just work in general will go through a massive restructure. And that will lead to so much good stuff because the cutting away of the nonsense and the stuff that doesn't mean anything.
And it's a collective change as well, isn't it?
Everybody, the wasted energy.
We're all going through this as a collective experience. And it sort of flips again, you know, two things. One, it brings, on the serious note, it brings to the fore the important job that people on the front line of the kind of emergency services, so particularly nurses and doctors. And
how much gratitude we have for those people.
Yeah, and what they have to do and the risk, the genuine risks. So we talk about risks and fear and all this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They do that every day, day in, day out.
Actual real risk. Yeah.
And then the other thing, as you're saying, I was kind of a hallelujah moment, was how many times in the previous episodes we talk about that paddle out where somebody will say, oh, it's a bit...
Yep.
You know, anybody that's been out of the water or had experience of what effects this has had, surely we don't hear it's ever again from anybody going back into the waves or water after this, because it's just a bit amazing. It's just a bit magnificent, wonderful, joyous, anything that allows you that freedom. Because for the first time, I suppose, we're restricted freedoms as a collective. And that's the sort of the appreciation of that should give us a sort of everything tastes better or everything looks better when we come up and out of the other end. For sure,
totally.
You know, we've got the seatbelts fastened and we're about to fly through some particularly rough turbulence, and even the cabin crew are strapped in and the pilot doesn't know if we're going to make it. But we will, and if we get through on the other side, the place we're going is this kind of, you know, utopia with barreling waves and blue skies and, you know, I'm making this sort of analogy here, but, you know, sandy white beaches and all the lovely stuff. Anywhere you are in the world, we'll feel like that afterwards if we keep the mindset dialed.
Completely agree. I think a lot of surfers would tell you to fuck right off.
They will. Probably next time they see me.
They'll be like, yeah, fuck off.
Yeah.
No, I think that what it is that, you know, we've also got to keep a balance in what we say. There's some serious withdrawal symptoms that we're going through surfers' lives
completely
at this time as well. And it's a balance in everything. That on the one hand, give yourself permission to be human.
Yes.
And if you're experiencing withdrawal symptoms from surfing, then allow yourself to go through that. I think that's really normal. But I think to wallow in that,
yes,
is losing the balance. As Aristotle once said, you know, find the balance in everything you do. So allow yourself to feel what you feel, but also secondly, keep in mind that overall, there is so much more good in your day than there would be bad. And focusing on the minutiae or minutiae of not being able to go surfing versus the health that you had that day, an interesting conversation, nice meal, a little workout, watching a movie, just your own consciousness, being alive, being able to see. When you're truly awake to your consciousness, there's no amount of wonder in even the most benign of things. Such a thing as boredom cannot exist at all in a conscious human. It cannot exist.
Well, it's joy, because that's when you talk about
the joy of being.
We've been forced into what would otherwise be seen as mundanity. You know, can't surf, can't go out to this bar, can't go to that particular restaurant, blah, 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 blah. You know, whatever it is that you've been restricted from doing.
Yeah.
I've got to be in, I've got to be. And look, there are some people who, you know, we need to reach out to who are lonely and kind of harder, or they might sort of not have the network, support network around them or help them. But when you look at it from a sort of more balanced, you know, the people that have a network already, or they live with other people and they share houses and whatever, it's kind of trying to find the joy. And these are some of my happiest times. Sometimes when you find the joy in the mundane is where you hit that sort of total zen place. Joy in things that would otherwise be seen as a bit boring. It takes a while, doesn't it? I suppose as you get older, you get to see that. But sometimes doing the most ridiculously mundane things, you really appreciate those for what they are.
I completely agree. There's a wonderful Zen teaching which is all related to that. And it's about embracing the sweeping of the temple. It's it's the holding of the handle. It's the looking at the floor, and it's the feeling of the air on your skin. And when you're present, there is a joy in being. And that's just the aliveness.
Yeah.
The aliveness that is already just pouring with high energy within you that most people cannot access because the mind is too active. If the mind is too active, it's always looking for a reason to be unhappy.
Yes.
And what do I need right now in order to be happier?
Yeah.
Whether that's a distraction, a food, a cigarette, something interesting that someone's told me, something good that's happened to me, me.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, how am I being affected? How can this world make me happier?
Mm.
And truly the only person that can ever make you happy is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's free from circumstances. Mm-hmm. Research actually shows, I mean, I did this research for my book, Filling the Happiness Gap. And research by positive psychologists at Harvard University shows that only 10% of our happiness is dictated by our circumstances. And within that 10%, it's the basics.
Mm.
It's the shelter.
Yeah.
It's the food. And the remainder, the 90%, is your attitude.
Yeah.
It's your attitude.
It's fascinating stuff.
And your attitude is something that you can control.
Yeah.
Always. And it's the most remarkably humbling thing when you're standing over the washing up and you're complaining about the fact that your partner hasn't taken out the food bin, and you're starting to moan, and you're starting to create a negative atmosphere, and you're starting to make people unhappy temporarily, hopefully, if you can spot the dick that you're being. And by the way, I'm probably starting to tell a story now about myself last night. Truth be known. But the key is catching yourself when you're being unconscious. I think that's the key with surfers. And if you're listening to this in this period and when you're not surfing, catch yourself when you're starting to get unhappy and complain and feel down and miserable about not being able to go surfing. Just catch yourself.
Mm.
This is absolutely not about trying to force yourself to be happy.
Yes.
About the situation.
Yeah.
That's not what this is. No. Mindfulness is not that. It's the removal of the things that are making you unhappy, as opposed to the improvement of doing things that make you happy.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Completely.
Because we are naturally, as humans, happy.
Yeah.
When we are removing the things that are making us unhappy. Yeah. This is my point. Yeah. You don't have to do anything. Yeah. You don't have to do anything. Yeah. Once you're out of your own way, if you can spot that what you're doing is making you unhappy, as soon as you remove that, notice that it's just unconscious thinking. You let go of your stubbornness. Once that starts to pass, what is there to be not happy about?
It's acceptance for me.
Do you see what I mean?
Acceptance, isn't it? That's one of the things I've found from it. It's a little bit like you can't eradicate moods or down, the blackness, whatever you want to call it. In some people, it's more severe. And you get, can get lost in the pit of that. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you start to realize that that's what it is and it will pass. And again, I suppose this links to this kind of whole situation we find ourselves in, is that the appreciation then for when that does pass, of the, of the state of contentment or happiness or whatever you want to call it, is much more profound because you're accepting and aware of it than you would have otherwise previously been.
Wonderfully put.
And some, you know, we sometimes lose ourselves and don't appreciate the times when we would otherwise be up because of what you're saying, this kind of construct of comparison, thinking about the future too much, thinking about the past too much. We don't just sit in that moment and think, actually, right now, today, it's all right. And then enjoy that feeling of it being all right.
Yeah, beautifully put, dude. We're going to come on to segment one, the Mindful Surfer Corner, just a few moments to check in with your breathing. So wherever you are, sat driving, sat at home, on the beach, whatever you're up to. If you get a chance to close your eyes, then close your eyes. Obviously, if you're driving, then please keep your eyes open. Take a breath in through your nose and breathe out. And take a breath in and breathe out. And breathe in and breathe out. And breathe in and breathe out. Just remain really conscious of your breathing, paying particular attention to the sounds and the sensations of air going in your nose and of air leaving your mouth. Just keep taking conscious breaths and just listen to these words, just about letting go and trusting. So with everything that's going on, there's a huge loss of external control. And much like a sea that is turbulent with weather and waves, and there's waves crashing all over the place, even when the ocean is turbulent, all you've got to do is go 1 inch beneath the surface of the waves and it starts to become still and calm. And that is the exact same about what's happening right now, is that there's so much loss of control and turbulence up above in the external environment of the world. So when that's all going on, go inside, be your place of control. Because truthfully, that's the only place we're ever going to find it anyway. And it's a letting go process. It's your consciousness noticing your mind. And as soon as you become aware of your mind and its tendency to go into the future unconsciously and worrying pictures, as soon as you're able to notice that it's doing that, you're already removing, you're already letting go, because the witness, who is who you really are, is witnessing the thought. And in doing so, you're seeing that it is just a thought. And then you bring back the power of now. Because the future will be a moment just like this one. Open your eyes, my friend. Come back in the room. Beautiful. It's not going to be easy not surfing for a while for a lot of people. But the letting go process in our attachment to things that make us or did make us happy, that letting go process is very simple. Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
No.
Because surfing is a really enjoyable sport on many, many levels. So letting go of our attachment to the joy we get from it will not be easy, but it will be very, very simple.
Mm.
And how the ways in which you will grow through that letting go process will be tremendous, and it will aid you so much in your coming back to the ocean when you are able to surf again. Or maybe you are able to surf again now, or maybe you are able to find your pockets of surf if you're listening to this. But I'm sure if you're anyone who travels for surf, this is going to be an absolute time for you where you don't really go in as much. And the letting go process will be, in the end, massively beneficial.
Oh, completely.
To all of us.
And definitely, if you're a city surfer, you're not going to get, you're probably already by the time this goes out on lockdown or whatever. And, you know, as I said earlier on, probably responsibility wise, shouldn't be going to places that would otherwise be under strain if loads of people turn up, you know? And there's been loads of that, hasn't there, with the kind of various sort of Cornish crews and Devon crews and Scots crews, all in the kind of far-flung pockets of the world and country in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to be locked down. So it's trying to kind of do the things you can do that when it all opens up and everybody's welcome back, you can take full advantage.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some of the body stuff we talk about and exercise and training. And there's loads of that now going online, you know.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. On that front, actually, with our next segment, we've got the Mind Body Stoke.
Yeah.
Liam and I share mind and body hacks to add to the stoke of surfing in life. Dude, you've got anything on the mind or the body?
Mind's interesting. And body, kind of combine all three of them, really. We had a surf the other day. Well, I say you had a surf, and I didn't, did I? Because for the first time, even though I'm getting a lot fitter, we had this sort of pounding easterly where there was no way through. The rips weren't working because it kind of wrapped too far around. The rip was actually taking you somewhere you did not want to be.
Towards the rocks.
Towards rocks. And a few of the boys got caught out on that as well. It was for the first time a little bit like the sea didn't want me in there anyway, because I had nothing in the tank. I'd wasted so much energy trying to sort of get myself away from that situation that I couldn't then paddle out. So I sat on the beach and Will went off and had a great old surf. But it was really interesting then for the next day where the determination's back and you've rested and you've eaten, you go back and you sort of take it on. But as many of you have been listening on this journey of, you know, trying to improve surfing and get better and try different things and different boards and different places, it is the first time in a very long time now for me that I've not actually made a paddle out.
Yeah.
And so that's quite a humbling experience.
I really noticed that you were frustrated and upset by it and test the mindfulness. Yeah. And of course, just like the coronavirus, you know, in being tested, you learn to go deeper within.
Yeah.
If you're that kind of character where you want to really understand, you know, how good it is for you to be humble.
Yeah.
Because it either does one or two things to people to be humbled in anything in life. It either makes you more apathetic.
Yeah.
Or even more accepting.
Yeah.
That you have further to go.
Yes.
And that's a really cool thing then, because then you just kind of put the fire in again and you go, right, okay.
Yeah.
I've been humbled there. I'm going to come back stronger. Yeah. But also, truthfully, it was a mental paddle out. I haven't had a paddle like that for a long, long while. I like going out in big waves, and I'll go up to quadruple overhead. Yeah. I will go out in big waves. I've got a fair bit of experience in big waves. I was paddling nonstop at full velocity for 25 minutes. You could not get close to that in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
I think it gave me a great insight into why, as surfers, we've got to be very empathetic to ourselves about our training regimes. Because if we try and hit similar in levels of intensity and numbers, duration, reps, sets, as we do the ocean, we're on a hiding to nothing.
You can't.
There is nothing like having a wave about to pound you on the head. Hey, hope you're enjoying the podcast. If you want to make sure you never miss a show, head on over to themindfulsurfer.com, sign up to our weekly newsletter, and we'll update you on the latest shows. Now, back to the podcast.
In the garage, in the park, wherever you're training, doing your thing, just give yourself a break, whatever you need to get done. We talk about loads in this show.
There's loads of ways of trying to up your training and boost the motivation you have around it and increase your numbers of chin-ups and increase your numbers of press-ups and little motivational hacks and stretching hacks and nutritional hacks. And we talk about these things every week. Given that there's a balance in everything, also have a balance in the fact that you cannot recreate what happens in the ocean.
Because interesting, you talk about mind, and we talk about our own surfing a lot in this show, but I wasn't really up for it either. Mm. So there was a combination of, it was a big paddle, I'd sort of exhausted myself getting into the right place after being in the wrong place, as many people did to kind of start with. And then following that, you then hit the sort of physical kind of tiredness as well. Once your mind and your body start to kind of, it's game over. And this is a very rare thing for me. But I knew, and this is the mind hack, and I've talked about this before when it comes to injuries in sport, right?
So
certainly for me, and I talked a lot, you've talked to a lot of people who have been through very similar things. When you just don't fancy it is when the worst things happen.
I completely agree.
And that was definitely a day I didn't really, you know, there's something there. I wasn't fully charged. I wasn't fully on it. So, and I'd not gone and done a check. I just, you know, we just kind of hit the, we got down there and I thought, oh, God, I'll go in. The mind wasn't really as willing as it usually is as well. So, and then you combine all the other things and suddenly, you know, you catch a couple of waves on the inside and then think, sod it, I'm going home.
Totally.
You know.
What's interesting is surfing as a sport is weird. we tend to not get out to rehydrate gradually throughout a session between. We tend to not get out and take a time out, take a rest, get back in. There's loads of random things that don't happen in surfing that we should and could do. Yeah. I say should, could do.
Yes.
And borrow from other sports. Yeah. There's a half time.
Yeah.
You know, in American football, it's quarters, drinks, breaks, little snacks. Surfers just like it or lump it. Get in, it works, or it doesn't, and you go home. Do you know what I mean?
It's completely true, dude.
We could really take a lot from other sports in that way.
And especially recreation. You know, you see people in the gym and they've got protein shakes and they've got the BCCAs and they're kind of stopping and rehydrating. You're absolutely right. Surfers often get in without having eaten anything beforehand.
Yep.
For a dawny, other than a bit of coffee, which does improve performance. We know that. But then they go and spend, we go and then spend 2 or 3 hours doing something that is relentless. Mm-hmm. Without any of the recommended intervals, hydration points, whatever else you might take doing anything else.
Yep.
That, by the way, may not actually either be as intensive as the things that you're doing and as life critical in some situations, especially the guys that are constantly in those big waves. We just do that for fun.
It's ridiculous. So funny.
When you think about it.
Surfers do not consider the sports performance aspects of the sport.
Because it's the joy.
Because we just kind of crack on and in fairness, a far more powerful antidote to mental physical fatigue than any supplement is joy.
Flow state.
That's way more powerful than any supplement in the world. However, you and I both talked at great length. I've been researching this stuff for 15 years, supplementation for mind and body performance, mind and body hacking.
Yes.
We will bring out our own Mindful Surfer surf-related performance-enhancing supplements one day. But there is loads and loads you can do. And branched-chain amino acids are a great place to start. Leucin, lysine, glutamine, glutamic acid. If you can look at taking a little bit of a branched-chain amino acid supplement just before surf, just gives your brain in particular that little bit of extra pathway to dopamine access a bit sooner, which can give you that bit more alertness and et cetera. And L-carnitine is another one. Just go to your local Honda Bar or any online store and just have a little look at the reviews and see which one your intuition goes. In fact, brings me on to my body hack for the week, because so much of the show is we talked about citing the likes of, Paul Check, Paul Hamernay. Paul Check in particular, but anyone who would be much more in the mindful eating category of coaching as opposed to the doctrine of, just eat plants, just eat meat or anything in between. Yeah. And so much of what this show stands for is the mindfulness of that food and how it affects your surfing, obviously. Okay. Now, I've documented in previous episodes having gone low carb to help with my knee as an experiment and my brain too. Mm-hmm. My brain wasn't functioning too great. So both of those have got much better from doing low carb to the point of it was actually ketogenic. Ketogenic meaning using ketones for fuel as opposed to glucose, which is below 30, 40 grams of carbohydrate per day. So almost all calories coming from fat protein. As the story goes now, this is where this relates back to intuitive eating and mindful eating. So which is really what we teach more than anything. You know, surfing, dealing with winter cold as well, which might have been corona. I don't know. It was not severe symptoms. But the last kind of couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, starting to get significant drops in energy at work. Surfing, was just becoming incredibly tiresome, getting very, very cold in the ocean too. A number of little symptoms that basically I was in need of a new change in dietary regime. So I think I'd done about 7 or 8 weeks of low carb.
Yeah.
And intuitively,
yes,
my body had said, "Will, you need to be on low carb," because I just felt really good. Felt amazing. Yeah. And then, given the way that the body is constantly changing, the microbiome is always changing, your evolution in terms of your activity levels is changing, biochemistry, insulin levels. I mean, the list of little things that's changing just within you, let alone everyone else, but just within your body is quite fascinating. Yeah. So the demand for carbohydrate in me, just it became these things like, "Oh, I really need to have some carbs and see how I go."
Yeah.
I'd been on almost a zero carb regime at this point for the last few weeks of what I was doing. So I just took in some carbs, thought, "See how it goes." First surf I had back after just reintroducing a bit of carbohydrate. Wow.
And the combination of change of board.
Change of board.
Back to the puddle.
As well. Puddle jumper back. Yeah. So a bit, few more liters of volume. Yeah. And like rocket fuel.
Yeah.
Felt how I like to feel in the ocean.
Yeah.
Just constant, full of energy, full of energy, full of energy. It is not to say that I would recommend that you, listening to this, eat a high carbohydrate diet to aid your surfing energy. That is not the point of the story. If you really listen to the story, it's about A, Listen to your body. What's it telling you? If everything's great, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if you're getting fatigue, you're getting joint pain, you're getting brain fog, you're losing focus in the ocean, you're lasting maybe for 15 minutes at the beginning, but then you're getting really fatigued. I mean, the list goes on and on. If you're getting symptomology that's affecting your surf experience, the joy of it, you're at point A.
Yeah.
Listen to that. Point B. Make a change. A serious change. Not just a slight tweak, but like a proper change. Is it alcohol? A change in carbohydrate level? So maybe reduce your carbs, increase your protein, whatever. Just do something and then at least see you're going to start getting a new result.
Yes.
And then when you start getting that new result, if it feels good, then okay, maybe keep going with that regimen. Keep going with it until go back to A. The feedback in your body changes again. If things aren't working, okay, fine. Now it's time to take another step. Now, for a lot of people, this might be a series of steps. If someone's eating a high sugar, high alcohol, you know, massive amount of processed food diet and smoking those, well, okay, this is going to be a series of changes. But if for most of us, it's just a few little bits and bobs and changes, go back to the beginning. A, listen to your body. Okay, go to B, make a little change.
Yeah.
Go to C. Continue with that change, see how it makes you feel. Yeah. And then that's all it is. So the point in this story is to use mindfulness and being mindful of your body to let your body be your guide.
Completely.
Not your ego.
Yeah.
Not what your family thinks you should eat.
Yeah.
Not what your friends think you should eat. Not what the latest magazine thinks you should eat. Article.
Yeah.
Guru.
Yeah.
Because there's only one guide that is truly powerful. It's your own body.
Yeah.
There's nothing else in this universe that is as powerful as your body telling you, that works. Because right now, I'd have a lot of people who are avid ketogenic followers be like, oh no, Will, you know, this is going to happen to you. This is going to happen to you. It's nonsense. The only thing that's true is how you feel inside your own body.
Completely.
To thyself, known be true, as we talk about.
Yeah. And dialing in the happiness bit as well, you know, what gives you the lift, you know, what bits kind of stimulate the dopamine levels in you within a sort of, within reasonable parameters.
Totally.
Like, yeah.
Well, we talk about this each week. It's finding that curve between if I had a few beers tonight and a few treats that I wouldn't normally have, the joy it would give me would be outweighed in the negative decisions.
Yes. Yeah.
By the detriment it would create.
Yeah.
Okay. Cost benefit ratio or benefit cost ratio.
Yes.
What is your benefit to cost, benefit to cost? That's what we're all trying to work out. Now, for some people, it may be purely psychological that. So this may be all up inside my own head, but of course, psychology is everything because that's the experience of life.
Yeah.
If for me, I'm just a massive perfectionist inside of my head about how I feel, and I just like to feel 10 out of 10 out of 10 out of 10 out of 10 every day, that's just my experience. Completely. That's what I like to do.
Yeah.
If someone else gets more out of maybe having sugar, alcohol, other bits and bobs, bread, that makes them feel a certain way, but they don't mind that. And they just crack on and they're just happy. Well, listen, how can you ever say I'm happier than that person? Because it's only a personal experience.
And this is just a guide, right? So it's just a basically guide. Saying, try these things. It's not preachy. It's just to kind of, you know, we know what works for us and, you know, and always trying different things and be open to that.
Completely.
But it's not a, you should do this, you should do that.
No, not that. Never that should work.
Yeah. Because everybody's sort of has a different take on it, really. But
totally.
Fascinating to hear. We're going to move on to the next part.
100%. Segment 3.
Bit of surf media. Surf media. Really. Look, again, as we said at the beginning, most of the surf media is finally now soaked with COVID-19 type content. Stay at home. Don't come here. Don't go there. This is a lockdown. All the good stuff as well, you know, looking out for people. So we'll maybe have a look at some of that. But there's also some really interesting things coming out as well of how do you get people still engaged, doing things, you know, exercising, having the joy, finding the stoke when they're forced out of the ocean and locked inside in 100%. Many places. Again, I haven't consumed this myself, but I've been banging on about Rod, not Rob, as I always say, the surf coach, the power surf guy.
He's now
switched some of his, because he does all of these kind of retreats as well around the world, some really fascinating locations. But this kind of surf yoga that he's created and it's very tied in to the sort of natural gymnastics, you know, this kind of natural body movement that came out of Brazil, I think. And he's shifted some of his coaching online. So you can get on YouTube, you can sign up to his tutorials at surfcoach@power.surf.
Leave a link in the show notes.
We'll leave a link in the show notes. And you can start to get and dial, and I will be doing the same thing. I'll be joining him to try and get into some of more depth around movements that you can try on land that when you then take onto a surf skate or into the ocean, improve your surfing. Big and time. For me, that's been really worked. Just thinking about some of the things I've seen of him already, it's really helping me.
Really cool.
So that's cool. And then, you know, there's some really fun stuff talking about surf skates like Carver. Lots of people putting their little clips and vids of them trying to kind of stay shred fit on carvers in very confined spaces in backyards around the world. And it's pretty cool.
Nice,
pretty cool content.
Nice.
So that's all very, very good. What about you? Have you been sort of taking this time to watch or consume anything? Surf media?
Dude, hardly any.
Mm.
It's kind of one of those times where I don't read the news much anyway, but in terms of surf media, yeah. The stuff that I have seen has been about, you know, for example, Stab Magazine. I look at articles for our show, obviously.
Yes.
Because there's been so few articles around the actual surf world, apart from the obvious.
Yes.
I'll just give one example of what I saw. I only saw a little bit on how California was on lockdown.
Yeah.
And it's just really interesting just to just think of that concept.
Yes.
Busiest surfing kind of place in the world, maybe, apart from the Gold Coast, is California. I think arguably California would be greater than the Gold Coast, because Gold Coast is kind of a very, very dense cluster of surf breaks and people.
Yes.
Whereas obviously California just goes on and on and on. And just every single beach you go, there's a potential for surfers, because it's just populated all the way along, isn't it?
Completely.
Huge, huge, huge landmass, of which they get obviously constant, you know, waves all year round. So that just as a concept just kind of blew my mind, and it's remarkable. I think, you know, going back to the thing you said about Rod Machado and people working on their surf fitness, I think it's a great opportunity for people to work on all those niggles that normally kind of have an effect on their surfing, their knees, their lower back, shoulder, all these things get really flexible, really strong.
Yeah.
All your balance stuff, but standing on one leg while you brush your teeth each night, and doing balance exercises during the day, doing things on wobble boards and things. By the way, you don't have to have a wobble board to make a homemade one. Have you ever done it with cushions?
No, the cushions one's really good. Yeah,
just get sofa cushions out, stick them on the floor, put your surfboard on that, and just start rolling the board around on that. Yeah. And now, ideally, you could have a. I was going to say, if you have a hardboard on there, you probably start putting dings in your board. But
use an old one.
You need like a foamy or something, don't you?
Well, there's a lot of that online as well. People get hit kook of the day on a few times where people are in. I don't know who started it. Maybe it was Italo Ferreira or something actually started the craze where, you know, the Bosu ball, was it?
Bosu.
Or something similar, or cushions, and you stick an old board on there, fins off ideally, and then you're watching on your TV. Some sort of shot of you inside or the inside of a barrel.
Yeah.
So you're recreating something as best you can, making the most of a very bad situation.
So good, dude.
At home.
Love that.
Yeah. You know, I'd give a shout out to people like, we talk about them a lot, but like Dane Gadowskis and his brothers who are all about the stoke and good vibes and good news. Talking about, you know, reasons to be fearful and reasons to be cheerful. If you want a bit of like uplift and stuff, I always find that those guys do some really interesting stuff online just to make you feel good. They just always look like they're having a good time and they've got good attitude. And that leads me to the podcast that Dane was on, The Lineup with Dave Proden.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good. So if you listen to any other podcasts, which obviously you might do.
What?
But The Lineup.
You listen to other ones other than this?
But The Lineup's pretty good. And particularly the episode with Dane, because the stuff they do for Stokerama and the wider community, I think, is fantastic.
It's really cool. I did tell a lie. I did watch Ben Gravy last night. I watched Ben Gravy every other night.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe more than that. At least five nights a week.
Yeah.
Because he just does his daily, doesn't he? Watching him was funny. He just, he's gotten a bit funnier recently. I think because everything's going on, he's turning to kind of his humorous side and he's just bringing out a bit of banter. And he was just sort of driving along and it was the most innocuous thing he said. He's like, well, my partner, I can't remember his partner's name now.
Jen.
Is it Jen? Jay Verney?
Yeah.
She's panicking about, I've got these symptoms. And he sort of leaves the house and he starts driving. He's filming himself. He's like, I don't know about you, but when it comes to being ill, I just use common sense. If I feel ill, then I'm ill. I just laugh because I just, it's so true.
Yeah.
People are, oh my God, what's going on with me? Well, okay, if you're not very well, then you're not very well. It's a bit of a full stop at the end. Now, listen, that's not then saying if someone's at a very high risk category, obviously that's very different.
Yes, completely.
But for the vast majority, which is 99.99999% of people, if you feel ill, then that's when you know. I think what's amazing about humans is going back to the food thing is how little trust we have in our intuition. If you know you feel
off, then stay in.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, don't you, sometimes?
You just know. If you don't feel very well, then just stay in.
Exactly. And it's kind of that fear, isn't it? Fear is a contagion, as they were saying. You know, I look at that's peak mind always puts some interesting stuff out there. And that in itself can be as damaging as the actual thing, the genuine health thing that's ripping through society. And that's when you get things like this very selfish acts of panic buying and,
and
people hoarding stuff.
Yeah.
Because the fear,
yep,
or whatever is drives them to do that. I mean, somebody was calling them COVIDiots. I don't know if you've seen that hashtag.
Beautiful.
People who, you know, buy 400 toilet rolls. It's just...
What's going on?
What the f*** is happening? They're COVIDiots, basically.
I love an F-bomb, but
there we go.
Liam, I want to finish today with something you mentioned before we started the show, which was beautiful. Gave me a real insight and helped me feel calmer as well. Monster in the horror movie.
Yeah, completely.
Just finish with this today. Well, I've always loved this.
I've always said this, you know, I've got some, you know, talks of people who lucky enough to know write interesting things and write scripts and do all this sort of thing. And one of the things I always sort of end up having a conversation about, and personally for me is always a big thing, is that fear of the unknown, this kind of contagion of fear, particularly, it's a bit like the things that lurk in the shadows, you know, from when you were a kid, you know, whatever you can't see is always more frightening than the things you can see. And so it's a bit like the, you know, movies that show the monster are never as frightening as stories or books or movies that give the implication of something, because your mind creates more fear than anybody else can create for you often. You know, it's that kind of fear of the unknown, fear of the dark. And so there's a great guy on as well, this virologist, talking about the fact, that very fact, you know, if you shine a light on this and explain it and give it structure and give it name and start to look at it, it becomes less fearful for people. And totally. I think that's the thing that, you know, and we talking to ourselves sometimes when we're doing this, you know, but fear of the unknown and this constant being frightened of something you can't see. If you put a light on it, you show it, it's never as scary as you think it might be.
100%. And that's wonderful. Mm. And keep shining that light, my friends.
Yeah, stay
and,
safe.
Stay safe.
Stay well.
And stay well and look after yourself and appreciate what you have.
Yeah. And we'll see you. Hopefully we'll be doing this, because we won't be in lockdown, next time.
Definitely.
See ya.
Cheers, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.